The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie with two incredible female actresses. Annette Bening playing a complex character of crying and going through depression and adultery and a husband that's losing control. And Allison Janning, who is comatose through most of the film. Both impressive actresses.
Equally as impressive. The movie that in 1999, you were like, let's throw off the shackles of corporate America. And you know what? It'd be super fun to just be like a fast food worker, not care about anything. And now you're like, holy shit, I gotta be a fast food worker. And I really wish I had the fucking shackles of corporate America.
The movie about two men very creepily stalking two teenage girls. One of them gets killed and the other gets to live happily with one of the girls. Guess which one is super hot?
This is American Beauty on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are going to that kind of most holy of years, 1999, for the Best Picture winner of said year. This is Sam Mendes' kind of directorial debut.
Yeah, amazingly. Like, I mean, it's still in the 90s. We had a long run of first-time directors just knocking it out of the park.
This is American Beauty.
Yeah.
Who American else are you Beauty. Thinking of specifically?
In the 90s, obviously, like Tarantino.
Sure.
You know, like Weinstein would just get a hold of fucking anybody that was coming up and he would just put all his money behind it.
That's true.
And then you would just direct a fucking awesome movie. And just...
Or you'd get with Spielberg like Mendes did or like J.J. Abrams did. And
yeah.
Get your shit bankrolled.
M. Night Shyamalan was another one where he just like came out of the fucking...
That's true. I mean, Sixth Sense is his directorial debut.
Yeah, yeah. David Fincher. Yeah. I mean, David Fincher did like Alien 3 and stuff, but when this is the same year he did fucking Fight Club.
So this is 99. This is... one of the great years in cinema history.
Yeah, and this movie hits at the heart of what it was like to be a guy working in corporate America in the fucking late 90s. Because when we're looking at the movies, it's like Office Space is this year.
Office Space, Fight Club, they're all about how we're tired of this white-collar bullshit jobs we're just working for the man.
We're tired of these fucking computer jobs and like data entry jobs. And we're like, no, you know what? None of this fucking matters. And, like, Fight the Power and all that shit. Like, all these movies really hit at that.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's cool to see it now. I mean, American Beauty is, it's one of the rare movies where, yeah, legitimately deserve to win Best Picture, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's my favorite movie from 99, but it's a really good one.
Yeah, but it's, I think, good enough.
Yeah.
Like, and it hits kind of all the...
And it definitely, I mean, it feels like an Oscar movie. It hits, like, I think what you were about to say... before I so rudely interrupted you.
Yes.
Is that it hits what you want from a drama, I guess. It hits all the beats of, like, it has all these strong performances. It has a lot of great supporting roles. It's got that score to just give that poignancy.
Yeah. And it's just like fingers on the pulse of what society was feeling at the time. And the performances are great. Kevin Spacey wins best actor,
right?
I think this wins best picture.
This really cements Spacey as one of the guys.
Yeah,
like he'd obviously been around, you know.
He'd been around for a long time.
This
is also the year of like the Matrix. It was a big year.
You want to just jump into 99?
Let's jump into 99. Yeah.
So this is 1999 for you people. In case you weren't aware, and I'm not going to do them all, obviously, but if you just search 1999 movies, you'll of course see this movie, American Beauty. As you said, you'll see the Matrix. You'll see Fight Club.
Yeah.
You'll see The Green Mile. You'll see American Pie, The Sixth Sense, which we just mentioned, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Probably Star Wars movie
Episode 1, a really huge deal, right? Yeah. Giant also, movie.
You know, they're really shitty. But...
I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. But it's interesting in that you had this movie, American Beauty, which I feel like is one of the last vestiges of that kind of big budget filmmaking.
Yeah, like big budget drama.
Budget dramas with like all-star casts that are really pushed, that people actually go and see. This movie made a fuck ton of money.
All right, yeah. So this movie made $130,096,000.
Yeah, just in the U.S.
It's more than, we talked 99. About Lethal Weapon. It's more than Lethal Weapon.
It's more than any James Bond movie. It's more than
James Bond movie. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's more than Batman and Robin. This is also the year of The Mummy. It's a great adventure movie. Very different.
Yeah,
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. Just,
you got Office Space, which we mentioned. But you also get movies like Magnolia, which is another brilliant drama.
This is Magnolia is a very underrated movie. Like, that should have been nominated.
Being John Malkovich, which another also, very like 90s drama, kind of mind trippy.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if you like, you know, obviously, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, Being John Malkovich, it's the movie that leads into that fucking movie. It's just bananas. And it's a weird time for this movie to come out and then people just be like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. And you're still getting the vestiges of like the 90s Tarantino Miramax thing, because you get both Boondock Saints and Dogma this year.
Right, yeah.
You also get like the Disney Renaissance. You get Toy Story 2 and Tarzan this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, all sides are just knocking it out of the park. Blair Witch Project becomes the single most successful independent film of all time.
Yeah.
Austin Powers, the first one, comes out, starts a fucking dynasty. Great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Also starts like a new parody style of filmmaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or reignites, really.
Yeah, reignites.
It reignites the old kind of Mel Brooks style. You also get Payback, which I just mentioned because it fucking rules.
Oh, Payback is amazing.
Yeah. Sleepy Hollow, Election, 13th Warrior. I mean, talk about fucking rules.
Yeah. Also, Election is really fucking good.
Arguably
one of Matthew Broderick's best fucking performances.
Yeah. Man on the Moon, which we talked about when talking about The Truman Show and how Man on the Moon is better.
Yeah.
Again, 13th Warrior.
So it's
that
amazing.
Movie is so
year
fucking
film.
Good.
And this movie, you know, like.
Iron Giant, also that year, by the way.
I like this movie a lot. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Obviously, when I first saw it, it was mind-blowing to me. It was a very deep, intense movie, and it had some shit in it that I hadn't like seen before at the time. You know, I was young when I saw it. So it's watching it again now, like, now I see there's some problematic stuff in it. But God damn it, if it doesn't nail it.
Yeah. I mean, mostly intentionally, right?
Yeah, mostly
like, I don't think it's trying to present the problematic stuff as good.
Right. It's more like me. I was just like, man, Kevin Spacey's a badass in that movie. And I'm like, gross, dude.
Yeah. This was a similar thing that I had thinking, because I had not seen this movie since 20 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd seen it after that. But yeah, it'd been a minute.
It had been a while. Like, I think I saw it twice. I saw it like once when it first came out, and then once maybe 3 or 4 years after.
Right.
So I'm just kind of vaguely remembering it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember there was a big thing about how Kevin Spacey was like a creep about this like teenage girl. But really, all I really remember is he had a fantasy where like flowers were coming out
and
of her top.
Like, works out a lot.
Yeah.
And
I'm like,
cool.
That doesn't seem that bad. Like, I don't know. We all have fantasies. There's no fantasies, that's the Outback Steakhouse of your mind. There's no rules, just right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember him jerking off, and I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. You jerk off
he's
in the shower.
Jerking off.
That's fine. We all do it.
Yeah, exactly.
The day you can't jerk off to a hot neighbor chick or a hot, I don't know, whatever girl you meet in a supermarket.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Come on. That's the day America dies.
Yeah. That's the day I don't want to live in this world anymore.
But then, you know, he meets her for the first time and is super fucking creepy.
Yeah. And I was like, Never mind.
Whoa. And then obviously you get to the end and I'm like, oh, wait, I just remember the part where he comforts her, not the part where he takes her pants off.
Yeah. Where he's like her titties are out and stuff. Yeah. And he only backs out because she's like, I'm a virgin. And then I mean, it's good for him to not do it.
True.
But it also, like, it would have been interesting if he would have done it. I would feel like way different about this movie now. I'd be watching it again and being like, oh, not cool, bro.
Yeah.
Not cool. But yeah, no, it's very interesting now watching it, because I do remember mostly the like 1970 Pontiac of the car that I always wanted. I rule. Like, I'm like, man, he was fucking cool in that. And I'm like, ew, gross, dude.
Well, it is. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, he does serve as an interesting character, because he's certainly a wish fulfillment character, right?
It is. He is.
Because he is, you know, he's stuck in this loveless marriage, and he's also stuck in this shitty job, which I'm sure a lot of people watching this movie in 1999 were same situation,
and
right?
It was it. That's why Office Space. That's why Fight Club.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why all. I mean, like, look, if you're There's a good chance if you're listening to this now, you have a job you hate.
Yeah.
And a relationship that you know, whatever.
You probably gave up on a while back.
You're just going through the motions.
And just wait until something happens where you snap and just fucking like ask for sign for a divorce or just leave and you're living in fucking Jamaica for 2 years. Like,
and even if you're in a good relationship, there's definitely been days where you're like, I just want to fucking just do whatever I want to do and tell her to fucking.
I do think if you get into like routine and mediocrity, you're always like one of you saying like, I'm not happy before you're like, I know I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Like you're just very easily persuaded that. And Kevin Spacey is that in this.
And like, the fact that he gets to go, like you said, I mean, the working out, the smoking weed, the buying the Pontiac, he's really reclaiming. I mean, even just the fact that he tells his wife to basically go shove it several times.
Yeah.
Wish fulfillment.
And you're it's a testament to how good the movie is, because when I saw it, I just saw Kevin Spacey kind of like being cool and going through like a midlife crisis kind of, but like reclaiming it in a cool kind of fucking way.
Right.
And I remember thinking, nobody gets him kind of. Watching it now, I'm like, oh yeah, you're not supposed to kind of root for him. He's kind of like doing the wrong things for the right reasons.
Other way around, I think.
Oh, I mean, the right things for the wrong reasons. Sorry. He's doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And it's not until he asks, what's her name?
Mina Savari.
Yeah, Mina Savari. It's not until he asks Mina Savari, how is Thora Birch doing?
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, he's like a normal person.
Right.
But until that point, he's not a normal person. He's like kind of a shitty fucking guy.
He is.
Yeah. And
now, when you rewatch this movie, you're like, wow, all these people are
kind of garbage people.
Kind of.
And I do think, I mean, it's
fucked
like,
up.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we should talk about the plot. So we start off with Kevin Spacey voiceover where he tells us he's going to die.
Right.
Then he sets up his shitty suburban life. You know, it's American Beauty, I guess. It's from what I was reading in the trivia. It's named American Beauty is a type of rose that is very beautiful, but also rots really easily at the roots, which is a bit on the nose.
Bit on the nose, sure.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, Sam Mendes.
Yeah.
And fucking
Alan Ball.
I get it.
This definitely, this movie's not trying to make things hidden.
Right. He's stuck in this like suburban life. His daughter obviously hates him. Nobody pays attention to him.
Right.
He goes with his wife to this thing where Peter Gallagher is way cooler than him. Also, that's the only time that you hear Peter Gallagher is way cooler than Kevin Spacey. And fucking anybody. He's like invisible, but he's like doing this voiceover stuff. The cinematography immediately like leads us into what the world is.
Right.
And that everything looks fake. From Annette Bening's world and in Thora Birch's world, everything is fucking black and white except for her. Like, it's very obvious. And Wes Bentley, when Wes Bentley comes in, who is a fucking creep.
Yes.
He's a fucking creep, but he's also very hot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he is, like I was saying while we were watching the movie, this movie is either completely unbelievable or just 1,000% different if Wes Bentley is just like a short fat dude or like a DJ Qualls super skinny guy.
Yeah.
But instead he's, Wes Bentley and he's a very attractive. He's a
6 foot two, very attractive fucking 22 year old.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, he's kind of like got like a.
If they cast the Napoleon Dynamite kid to play him,
yeah.
He'd be like, ooh, get away from me. Like,
oh my God, Jesus Christ, get the fuck out of here. Because he's doing things, he's writing her name on her laundry with fire.
Is this man Daredevil? What the fuck is going on?
If I remember correctly, the only other time that I've seen that was, I think, It's Always Sunny. Yes. That they fucking did that where they lit the lawn on fire.
Yeah.
And that was very hilariously fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he writes her name on fire in the fucking lawn and they're like,
he starts
oh my God.
Filming her constantly.
He's constantly filming her. All of this is fucking creepy.
He's
but also
a super creep.
His world is also, his fucking life is black and white. Like, his room is black and white. He dresses in black and white. It's fucking weird. The cinematography and the art direction in this are very interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, speaking of, we should mention, it's Conrad Hall, who's fucking rules.
He's
a goddamn legend. He also did Road Perdition with Sam Mendes a few years later and then unfortunately passed. But fucking great.
Yeah, and Thomas Newman's score is fucking amazing in this. I mean, everything, all the gears in this movie are pretty perfect.
Yes.
Like, everything really falls into place. And the fact that you see everybody's fucking life in weird colors and weird... Like, Mia's body is just fucking covered in bright red rose petals. And we don't see any of that bright red fucking color any other time. Like, anywhere in this fucking movie is that ever bright red.
Yeah.
Fucking bright red.
Except, like, well, the car.
Except for the car and his blood at the end when he gets fucking shot in the head.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, it's all very, like, meticulous and precise and
very well thought out.
Yeah, yeah. Good on Sam Mendes. Yeah. I mean, now we know he's a fucking great director.
Right, right.
But it's time for a fucking, like, a breakout directing part.
Yeah.
Really fucking good.
Really fucking good.
All right. So Thora Birch is their daughter. She hates them, obviously.
Obviously.
Nobody's happy in this fucking family.
Yeah. This is a miserable family. Annette Bening. So we haven't really talked about her. Annette Bening is a real estate agent who basically just her whole life is her putting up a facade of happiness and success, even though she hates her life and is miserable and...
Yes, and she's just...
Sad all the time.
Right, right, and trying to just put up a front all the time. I mean, when you're a... Because we get a scene where she's cleaning the house.
Yeah.
And like... making the house look nice, and that's what she's doing with her life.
This was also the most unbelievable scene in the entire movie, where she tries to sell this house, and all these people, including John Cho, come in and are like, "Yeah, this house isn't very nice." And I'm like, "That is like a fucking $700,000 house now."
Oh my god, yes,
that is such a nice house.
And we were like, kind of thinking about it, and we were like, "Yeah, it's probably back then in LA, probably like $200,000, maybe
at least."
Now it's like almost $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got a swimming pool. It's got a fucking like rock wall fireplace thing in the living room.
Yeah, even if it's like a fucking two bedroom,
like
house.
Real rock.
Oh, fucking swimming pool wood, and rock
fucking
wall?
Actual wood flooring.
Yeah, probably Sam Mendes is the only one can afford that.
Yeah,
but yeah, though. So she's obviously doing that all the time. She's always like putting forth.
Man, if she can't sell that house, maybe she really is a bad real estate agent, is what I'm saying. I'm putting that forward.
That's why the king has got to
He's got to get in. He's got to just king himself in there.
Yeah, Peter Gallagher gets in there, and he fucks her in a very cool way. Even when I saw it when I was younger, I remember being like, that was a hot fucking sex scene. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's like twisting her up, her legs are way up, and she's like calling him the king and shit in it.
Yeah,
and
I was it's good. Dope. It's good.
Yeah, it's also like, if you flip this a little bit, and if you flip it to where she's the Kevin Spacey, you could still have the fucking same character like arc where she's like, I'm not happy in this fucking life.
And then she gets plowed by the king.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. My husband is losing his goddamn mind.
Yeah.
And all I have is this one fucking guy that gives me attention.
Yep.
And you could have the same exact thing, except instead of Kevin Spacey being in love with a 17-year-old,
right,
it's her with a fucking like newly divorced, possibly divorced. I don't know. He's probably lying to her.
He's probably lying to her.
But like this fucking.
I was surprised that they never actually answer that.
But
I was like,
kind of obvious.
Definitely, he's lying to her, right?
Yeah. He's for sure, because as soon as shit gets real, he's like, "Well, anyways, we better not do this anymore. I got a divorce coming up. Yeah. Like, I got shit I'm doing. Yeah."
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can definitely switch the roles and have Annette Bening
for 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get Thora Birch, and again, like we talked about, Miles is his name, right? Wes Bessie?
Yeah, sure.
I don't remember. He's an interesting character, because he is a guy who was very open to the beauty of the world.
Right.
It's kind of like...
He's a real art school dropout kind of kid.
Yeah, yeah. And he videotapes everything. He has fucking old... like 8mm camcorder shit, like video shit everywhere. And his dad is Chris Cooper, Chris Cooper doesn't get any fucking nominations for this movie.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper, 5 years after this, gets nominated for this
fucking
movie.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
It's because he hadn't done adaptation yet.
Where he wasn't established yet. Yeah.
He wasn't as established for yet. And if you get a big actor to play this part, if you get Harrison Ford, like we were talking about when we were watching it, you get Harrison Ford to play this fucking 100%
nominated.
Nazi character. Nominated, probably wins. Probably wins. Because it's such a good, weird little small character that the Academy fucking eats up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eats it up. And it's just because there was no name in this. If it would have been Harrison Ford, Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Even if you threw
Rob Duvall.
Even if you threw like a fucking Oliver Platt in the thing, like
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. He's still.
I wouldn't believe Oliver Platt, but yeah, maybe.
But, you know, like somebody who's been around for a long time.
Heston?
Yeah. Somebody like that, and you throw him in this weird, very aggro, like murderous, almost neo-Nazi kind of guy. A little bit. Yeah, you get a nomination for sure.
Yeah. There's some weird stuff in this movie with his character, yeah. Which we talked about a little bit, because there's a lot of stuff that, like, we already don't like this guy. Like, he's already a super abusive, shitty dad and right. like obviously the homophobia and everything like that. You don't really need the Nazi plate. He still punches his son in the face like 8 times.
Right.
And you don't really need the kiss and all that stuff.
Yeah, you don't need the gay kiss.
Because he still thinks that his son was being forced /
or like prostituted
to like blow Kevin Spacey. Which maybe in real life he was. I mean, I'm not saying that happened.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. That's another thing about watching this now. Yeah, and being like, damn it, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Why do you have to fucking have that now, man? We could have just been watching your shit and being like, he was a good actor, that guy. Yeah. Look at him pretending.
He was a good actor.
Pretending like he's, you know, taking advantage of an underage person.
Boy.
Yeah. And now you're like, God damn it, man. Yeah. No, but you're right. His character, I think, like, watching it now, it's weird to me that they had to push him that far out.
Yeah.
That they had to be like, we already hate this character, but
let's really hate him.
And I was like, no, as soon as, like, he hit his kid,
yeah,
I'm on board with, and even we don't even get to see that guy go to jail or anything.
No,
you know what
no.
I mean? Like, I know already that he can kill a man.
Right.
Without the Nazi plate, and I like the Nazi plate part. I think that was actually pretty cool. But like, without the Nazi plate, without the kissing part, I still 100% believe that he's a piece of shit who will shoot a guy for fucking his son.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird that it pushes so fucking hard into it, watching it nowadays. But back then, it probably makes more sense.
Yeah. No, it does. And they're trying to, like, it's part of that whole, like, oh, if you really are that homophobic, it's just because you're secretly gay.
Right, right. Or also because you're like, well, a lot of people are like this right now. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Let's make them, because everybody, all these like fucking Marine, like Jarhead guys are not going to like this movie unless he does something really fucking weird and twisted at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kiss another guy. And they're like, oh, nope. I can't associate with this guy no more. He's a bad guy now.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
I can see that.
You might be right. And just in case, like, if you haven't seen this movie in a while and you're like, oh, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe he hits his kid once in anger. Like, no, he fucking beats the shit out of Wes Bentley like 8 times.
Yeah, he does it a lot. Like, that's kind of his going. That's like his goodnight kiss. Yeah,
exactly.
Every night he kicks a door in and he's like, what am I going to slap you around for?
Yeah.
And Wes Bentley's like, I'm
going to tire you out so you get a good night's sleep.
I guess. I don't know. Shit, yeah. But there is a point where Wes Bentley's like, I'm fucking Thora Birch, dude. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'm out.
Yeah, good for you, dude. Yeah, and I actually, like, when I was looking at it and I was looking at what their characters are doing, what Kevin Spacey's character is doing, what Wes Bentley's character is doing, and you kind of fall into like this like neo-surrealism thing where you're like, Wes Bentley's just doing what Kevin Spacey wishes he was doing. He's kind of just connecting with Thora Birch in a very meaningful way. And that's all Kevin Spacey kind of wants.
True.
At times. And also,
he's connecting to Thora Birch in a meaningful way. And he's also having sex with a young girl. So it's exactly
what Kevin Spacey wants. Yeah.
They're also both weird, creepy stalker guys.
And he's getting to a point where he's like, realizing that life is just
beautiful
on its own. And Wes Bentley knows that already. So it's kind of like a weird.
So it's almost like he's teaching him.
Oh my God, what?
Yeah. He also gets some high for the first time. So again, like,
this
really is like the take some drugs and realize the truth about reality.
Yes. Which you should all do is take drugs and
realize the truth about reality. Yeah, obviously.
Also, like, Kevin Spacey gets super high and then he just listens to like 1968 music.
Yes.
Which is pretty funny.
Which is funny and is fine. Like, I mean, I like all the music choices they make, but it is funny that like his super aggressive workout music is Bob Dylan.
Yeah. It's like All Along the Watchtower. Yeah. Not even the fucking Jimi Hendrix one.
Yeah.
It's like the Bob Dylan one.
It's like, that's a great song. I don't know that that's going to get me super pumped to get in the gym. That's not my gym mix.
Gym mix. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm going fucking like some thrash and shit.
Yeah.
Like, Even in 1999, if you go back 10 years earlier.
I mean, if he's supposed to be, he's supposed to be 40, right? So he was a kid in the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, you still.
So he could have at least been rocking like Zeppelin.
Sex Pistols, even.
Sex Pistols, Ramones.
Yeah, you could be like
rocking. Maybe even early Metallica.
Yeah, or yeah, for reals. Early Metallica, you fucking Sabbath and fucking Iron Maiden. Osborne.
Yeah. Yeah, Ozzy for sure.
Ozzy
yeah.
for sure. You could be rocking that shit. And he's like, no. We're gonna do Guess Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna and then Annette Bening is like, no, I'm gonna do Frank Sinatra.
Yep. It's all 1940s crooners for me.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, who are these adults in this fucking movie? They're getting high and listening to fucking Guess Who? Like, what yeah. the fuck are we doing? Yeah, also like he's buying weed from fucking Wes Bentley. Wes Bentley selling
for
$2,000 fucking
$2,000 and this is not like a brick
it's
of
like
weed.
Fucking ounce.
It's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's like, I just need like a little bit, like a fucking an ounce. It's what he, I think he asked.
Well, originally he asked. And then Wes Bentley pulls out a bag and is like, this one's, I don't know, what do you say, like 500
like
or something
bucks,
like
and
that.
It's
yeah.
pretty good.
It's like a big bag.
And then he's like, this is like, not, it was before medical. So this is like government.
Government made, yeah.
Government made grade.
And it's a very small bag.
Yeah, it's a very small bag. And then he's like, $2,000. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, in 1999.
Like, you know how much weed I can buy for $2,000 in a fucking dispensary right now?
Yeah.
In like 28 states in the fucking country?
That's true.
yeah. That's crazy. But it was, I mean, it was, I guess, in between that and like Mexican fucking dirt. But yeah, no, he's selling fucking $2,000. And at the end, when he was like, we can go to New York. And I remember thinking like, oh, he's got some money saved up. But New York's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, how much money is he really? And he's like, $40,000. And I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Let's go to New York.
Yeah, yeah. Go to New York, kids.
Yeah. He's got 40. Yeah. She's got three. I mean, $43,000 in 1999. I feel like you're doing all right for a little while.
You got like a
and plus
year.
He deals drugs. Like he'll be fine.
Yeah, you got a year of just like paid rent.
Yeah,
and then dealing drugs and shit. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, no, that'll be good.
Also, again, he's an attractive guy. She's like a weird gothy chick. You're fine.
Yeah,
this is
they'll
like
it
post the craft, and like this is at the time where that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fucking great in New York. You should have left him the very fucking first moment.
I do want to talk about Thora Birch because, so we mentioned her very briefly in one of the Tom Clancy ones,
right.
Clear and Present, I think.
Yeah, yeah, because she's little. Because
she's a little kid in that. But then this is the start of the, like, the Thora Birch, like, apex, right?
Right.
Because she's in this movie. It's a huge fucking deal. And then, of course, a few years later, she's in Ghost World, which isn't a giant hit, but it's a pretty great movie.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the middle, she's in the biggest hit of all, Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Where she plays the queen or princess or some bullshit.
Or whatever the fuck that was, yeah.
But she is very pretty.
She is very pretty. Yeah, I mean, even in Ghost World, she's kind of a fucking piece of shit in that movie.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
She's shitty to Scarlett Johansson.
That's true.
She's really shitty to...
To Steve Buscemi.
To Steve Buscemi. Yeah. But it's a really solid movie. And it's, you know, like even watching it now, even when I watch movies like this one, or if we go to like Empire Records or even Reality Bites, like movies like that, like I'm always like.
Like 90s teens hanging out movies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you can see where Juno and like all these movies are going to come out of that shit.
Yeah.
And Thora Birch is definitely up there in those types of then that she does. And it's definitely big in this, and it like this is where it comes from.
Right.
Yeah, to get Ghost World after this and all that.
Well, and then after Ghost World it's kind of slim
much.
Pickings.
Yeah.
Kinda slim
exactly.
pickings, yeah.
I mean, my favorite is still Monkey Trouble, where she had a cappuccino monkey.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah. She just got a monkey. I don't remember why, but she had it in the backpack.
I mean, why wouldn't she have a monkey?
And that monkey could get into all
You're in a
so
movie called
trouble.
Monkey Trouble or Monkey Bones. Either way.
Yeah. You got her into so much trouble.
Yeah.
She's just trying to like get through day-to-day middle school life.
Oh,
but
maybe,
with a monkey.
Maybe that's what we all need to do. Just try to get through our regular everyday life, but with a monkey.
Well, if this movie taught me anything, is you just get super high.
That's true.
And listen to 60s music.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, Kevin Spacey... decides he's going to get fired because he's slacking at work.
Right.
But he's like, you know what? I know something, you know, I know that my boss was hiring prostitutes.
On the company payroll.
On the company payroll. Like, I know all this shit. So how about this? You pay me some money and give me like a severance and then I walk away. And the guy's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, well, what if I tell them that you told me that, you know, if I suck your dick, like he pulls the sexual harassment card.
Yeah.
He gets out with $60,000. Which at 1999, a full year salary, I guess.
Yeah. Right,
for a fucking corporate guy.
Yeah.
Now it's probably like.
Now it's still 60 grand for a corporate guy.
But it's a lot more depressing.
But it's way more depressing.
Yeah. It's way more depressing.
Yeah.
So he gets away with that money and then he's like, fuck it. I'm going to work out and try to fuck Mina Savari. That's all I want to do.
Yep.
But also, you know, get a fucking pointless, like a burger joint job.
Right. Well, because he talks about how that was the one time he was happy. He was just partying, getting laid, being a kid.
Right.
This is him. This is the full midlife crisis. Buys the car, wants to be a kid again. This is also the point in the movie where Mina Savari's character kind of disappears. So you kind of forget that it's about fucking her, yeah, and you're just like, yeah. Oh, he's just about self-improvement.
Yeah,
and like
you do being, for a minute. Yeah,
you're like, all right, this is actually good. Like, he's just working out. He's taking...
He's like, he bought this dream car? That's cool,
he bought his dream
man.
Car. He's actually standing up for himself. Like, this is a man really, like, being a man again.
He's coming together.
He's coming together. And then you're like, oh, that's right. He's just trying to fuck a fucking teenager.
17-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
the
right.
The whole
shit.
Time. Ah, shit. That's right.
Forgot about that
I've been
part.
Backing this guy the whole time. And I forgot that that's his whole motivation.
His whole motivation.
He's trying to fuck this sucking 17-year-old. Which, yeah, it's very funny.
Obviously, I mean, the way it plays out at the end is good, but it would have also been funny if that end scene where she starts like coming on to him, he's just like, wait, what? Who are you again?
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, I'm just working
no,
out.
No, I'm banging like three chicks at the burger stand.
Yeah, which he also should have been banging three chicks at the burger stand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. She like kind of disappears and he's just like making himself a better fucking person. He also has that great scene where he's jerking off in a net bending. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm playing with my monster. He like says a bunch of cool shit. But he's like, he pulls a line out where he's like, yeah, you know what? I also supported you while you were trying to get your license. And some people might think that
entitles me to half your
half
money.
Of what you own.
Yeah.
I tried to use that line one time.
How'd that work out?
Not fly. No.
Apparently,
no girl thinks that that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. I like too, because this is also a very movie thing, because he turns around and smiles. He's like, aha, I won that argument. I'm like, no, you didn't, because you're arguing with a woman. Yeah. There is no winning that argument.
Also, like, you're going to go to court, and more than likely, they're going to be like, no, you don't win that argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, statistically.
Statistically speaking.
Yeah.
You're never going to win that argument.
Exactly. You're never going to win that argument. Especially if you're throwing plates at the fucking wall and shit.
Yeah.
Which he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's smoking weed.
He's smoking weed and quit his job.
99. Not okay, people.
Not okay.
Can't just smoke weed in the fucking suburban neighborhood.
That's right. Drinking Miller Lights all the time.
No. Also, when I saw Poltergeist, they were just smoking weed and drinking Miller Lights the whole
that's
time.
True.
And I remember thinking, like, those are cool
adults.
Parents.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it from now on. Nope. At this point, Kevin Spacey smoking weed. Everybody's like, Jesus Christ, that's fucking crazy. He's smoking weed.
Yeah.
I mean,
the scene where they get caught smoking weed is actually really funny, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Wes Bentley.
So the whole time, Wes Bentley is working hard on Thora Birch in a really creepy way.
He's just working hard that stalking angle.
Yeah.
It's really working out for him, too. She's very flattered. She's into it.
In a fucking weird way. But he also pulls fucking cool shit from his pocket. Like, all right, so the most memorable scene in this movie is obviously the plastic bag scene.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just, he videotaped a plastic bag flying around.
Is it plastic?
It's a plastic bag, yeah.
Are we sure? Because it looked a lot like paper in my eyes.
It's a white plastic bag.
It looked a lot like a white paper bag to me.
All right, let's call it a bag. It's a white bag.
I don't know. I think we needed to fucking replay this like 8 times and JFK this thing down.
Back and to the left.
Yeah.
Back and to the left.
Yep.
All right, it's a bag that's floating around. In the
with a bunch of leaves and shit.
Leaves
yeah.
and shit.
Flowers or whatever.
And thank God for Thomas Newman's score.
Yes,
because
otherwise it's just a bag in the fucking wind.
And Wes Bentley, and Wes Bentley being like weird and being like, he's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But he, you know, like the score is fucking gorgeous. And he's talking about, you know, like the beauty in this. It's about the snow and this bag is just dancing. Nobody's watching it. And it's dancing for like 10 minutes. And it's a beautiful, like meaningful fucking scene to Wes Bentley.
Right.
But it goes back to a thing that I've always believed. If you are a guy in your teenage years to your 20s,
mm-hmm.
just be passionate about something.
Yep.
He's super passionate about this thing, and
it works. It works
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
He is, and it makes him meaningful. We all love him for it.
Yep.
Thora Birch immediately falls in love with him. And she's like, oh my God, I've never even thought about you as this type of guy. Like, and... She watches the video and it works wonders for him. But yeah. So he's got a passion for it, which comes across in a cool way, because he's not, I don't know, Wes Bentley is not a real person in this movie. Like, that person doesn't really exist.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like
Kevin Spacey's a person that exists.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? Wes Bentley, I don't think, is a real person.
Wes Bentley is what Kevin Spacey wants to be.
It's what Kevin, yeah. Exactly. It's what Kevin Spacey wants to be. So it's, a Ferris Bueller.
Exactly. I mean, because Kevin Spacey starts the movie off by narrating, right. And then it goes to Wes Bentley suddenly.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's seeing beauty and shit that's not supposed to be beautiful.
Like, and then it ends with fucking Kevin Spacey seeing the beauty and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, when you look at
there
it
is no
way,
Wes Bentley.
There is no Wes Bentley.
There is only Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. That's Kevin Spacey and everything in Kevin Spacey's head.
Yep.
And even you could even say Chris Cooper is not a real person. Like, it's Kevin Spacey killing himself at the end.
Yeah, he could be.
At the point where he's the happiest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could really...
You could read it like that. If you really want to stretch...
Yeah, if you want to go out Tyler Durden.
If you really want to hurt fucking Sam Mendes' feelings.
Yeah.
And probably Wes Bentley's, honestly. I'm sure he worked very hard at this movie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he gets work still.
Yeah, no, he's in Yellowstone.
Yeah, he is in Yellowstone, yeah. It's a movie that you can really, like, dive deep into that. Because it's so surreal.
It is. I mean, it's the same, like, that the plastic bag or the paper bag, whatever it is, the bag dancing in the wind scene. I mean, obviously people made fun of it for years.
Yeah.
Because it is very easy to make fun of, because at the end of the day, it's a bag dancing in the wind.
Right.
But at the same time, like, the movie gives it this sort of poignant beauty, and that's kind of what this movie is, right?
Right.
Where it's
right.
Like, all right, it's this guy that going through a midlife crisis and shit and, like, unhappy, and we're all kind of unhappy, but is there a beauty in that? Maybe, maybe not. Is it all bullshit? Yeah. I don't know. How do you define it?
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's the end is perfect. That's why the end is fucking perfect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie is hard to just put into plot structure, because when you see what happens, it actually kind of seems like these things are just happening, but it takes like 2 hours for all this stuff to happen. It's all character work.
Right.
He is buying weed from Wes Bentley. Chris Cooper is already a fucking piece of shit dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Wes Bentley goes to sell some weed. Chris Cooper watches him through the window and thinks that he's blowing him.
Yep.
Which is a very funny scene.
It is still actually really funny.
It is.
It is like,
and I always thought
it's a fish called Wanda.
Like, it is. It's a fucking, it's a very
farcical comedy.
Very many of romantic misunderstandings. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I remember seeing when I first saw it, I remember laughing at that too. I was like, oh, that's funny, because there's a part where, like, he's rolling the joint and you can't see his head. But, like, Kevin Spacey, like, stretches really big.
Puts
and, like,
his arms behind his head, has this big smile on his face.
Like, leans back, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's like he's getting a blowjob. Yep. It's very funny. So Chris Cooper thinks that his son, he beats up his son for it, and he tells him, like, if you're, I mean, again, kind of funny, but he's like, if you're sucking dicks, you can't live in my house.
Right.
And Wes Bentley's like, oh, yeah, then I'm sucking dicks. You know, yeah, like, yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly.
And then we get the scene where, completely unnecessary, Chris Cooper kissing Kevin Spacey scene. I do think, going back on it, you can cut the scene straight out. Unnecessary, we get that Chris Cooper's a bad guy. He's a piece of shit. He can kill a man for basically fucking his son.
Which, again, that part, you know, I mean, not that you'd kill someone, but
yeah,
I don't
think
you want your 17-year-old son out prostituting himself to the neighbors.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, and you know, like, if it's not... You can't, like, pass it off.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's just like, yeah.
But again, his reaction to this wasn't, I'm going to call the cops, or I'm going to go over there and break this up, or his reaction was, I'm going to beat the fuck out of my son.
Yes, exactly. So we're like, oh, yeah, that's a guy that would also shoot a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
For this shit. Yeah, look, there's no need for that. And, you know, I mean, it's a beautifully shot scene, actually, where it's, like, raining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kevin Spacey's working out to some fucking 60s song.
Of course.
Because that's what he works out to.
Yep.
God damn it, dude. Like, this is some fucking Sepultura or some shit, man. It's like 99, dude. Like,
yeah, he's reliving his youth.
Yeah, but, dude, like you said, like, some Metallica, fucking something heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, all right, anyway. When, yeah, Chris Cooper shows up, it's beautifully lit. It's raining. He's, like, wet.
It really is. It's the romantic gesture.
Gesture, yeah.
Yeah, it's a romantic gesture. It's him in the rain, soaking white shirt. Like him with the puppy dog eyes coming to this person, going for the kiss.
Yeah.
It really is like a subversion on like the classic romantic setup.
Yeah, except that it makes very little sense.
Yeah, that part. I mean, that's it.
Kevin Spacey is like, no, I'm not like that. So then I guess we're supposed to think that Chris Cooper kills him so that nobody knows that he's kind of gay. But again, not necessary. But yeah, we get the scene where then Kevin Spacey is about to fuck Mina Suvari.
Right.
And it's
so this is the scene. So after Wes Bentley comes, Wes Bentley shows up and is like, run away with me. We're going to, or it actually is pretty good setup.
It is.
Good young love setup where he's just like, if I had to leave today, would you come with me?
Yeah. And he's beat up.
Yeah.
Like his dad beat him up.
It's like, if I had to go to live in New York today, would you come with me? And she's like, yeah, I will.
She's like, I have $3,000 for my plastic surgery. Yeah. And he's like, I have 40 grand.
Yeah. It's also hilarious that she wanted a boob job because, you know.
Yeah, perfect boobs.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, if you know anything about Francisco in high school, he liked jerking himself off to some Thora Birch boobs, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. And actually, the whole time I thought...
so did Wes Bentley, clearly, because that's why...
Yeah, he's zooming in on that. Yeah. Also, that scene where she's, like, taking off her top, he's not being like, oh, my God, this is, like, beauty happening in the world. He's, like, zooming in.
Yeah.
Really hardcore, being like, titties. Yeah.
There's beauty in the simplest of things, Francisco.
Yeah, no.
The beauty of the human body.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's not like zooming in on the hair on her face.
No.
Or like anything like that. He full body zooms in and he's like, yeah, titties.
Titties.
Like,
yeah.
Please, right now.
Yeah.
If we can get to this point, right. Then we're working really hard for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, after that, when he comes in and says that, and Mina Suvari is like, you can't run all like your kids. Like, what are you talking about? And then they go pretty hard at her.
Yeah.
They go pretty hard.
Wrecks her.
He wrecks her pretty good.
He's like, you're not even pretty. You're normal.
You're normal.
You're
fucking
mediocre. And like, there's nothing special about you.
Right.
And that's when she's like, well, I'll fuck your dad then.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hardcore for her to be like, yeah, all right, cool. I'm going to fuck your dad then. So they go to the kitchen. They have the scene, which, again, I don't remember them making out. I do remember him like being like, oh, we can't do this.
Right.
But I don't remember him making out and taking her top off and her pants off and shit.
He gets pretty far.
Yeah.
It's not, like, it would have been one thing if it would have been like, all right, they make out. And then he's like, no, I can't. Well, this is wrong.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's damn near.
He's out. Like, he's out of his underwear. Like,
yeah. Shit is escalating quickly.
He's holding it in his hand, leading it in. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Because she's like, this is my first time. And he's like, ah, shit. And then, I mean, good on him,
I guess,
to back out on this. And again, this is kind of the best moment in Kevin Spacey's a very problematic character in this, and that he's kind of a shitty person. He's a shitty husband, he's a shitty dad, and his whole motivation is to fuck a 17-year-old,
right?
But when he gets down to it, when he backs away from fucking a 17-year-old, when he asks her about Thora Birch, that's the best part of his character,
right?
That's the best thing that his character could do. And that's, give it to Alan Ball for knowing that the character can only be likable if at the end he's
got to be redeemed a little bit.
Yeah, he's redeemed in like even in like what life is supposed to be,
right?
Which is what he's doing. So he asks her, you know, how's she doing? And Mira Suvari is like, she seems happy.
Yeah, she thinks she's in love, and then that gives him a big old smile because he remembers being in love.
Yeah. He picks up a picture of himself with Annette Bening and her as a little girl. And he's like, oh, man, look at this. And then, bam, gets shot in the back of the head.
Yep.
If anything, I've always believed that you can have a pretty solid movie, but if you nail the ending.
Got to nail that ending.
And this movie really fucking nails that ending.
You're going to be walking out that theater.
Yeah.
How do you want the audience to be feeling?
Yeah, exactly. And even because we kind of get this weird sense of like who kills Kevin Spacey. Because at the beginning of the day, he mentions, he's like, today's the last day that I'm going to be alive. Like, nobody knows the last day they're going to be alive, and today's the last day or something like
that. Right, right.
So we know he's going to die. So there's a point where Annette Bening gets a gun out of the glove compartment, and you're like, oh, she's going to kill him.
And then there's the bit where they talk, like Wes Bentley talks about killing him.
He's like, do you want me to kill him? Yeah. So you don't know who's going to kill him, kind of. That shit doesn't actually matter.
Right.
In this movie, it never...
It's just to have like a nice little setup from the very beginning. Yes, of, like,
it never leans hard enough into it where you have to guess, which is fine. But yeah, you have kind of like a weird thing of like, who's going to kill him?
Yeah, because it's not like this is a murder mystery. This isn't...
No. We're not trying to figure... This is not Poirot trying to figure
exactly.
out who the fuck is killing this guy. Like, no, we're just kind of along for the ride. But those last sequences when he gets killed and he's like... Life, the beauty, like he's like, you know, when they say that your life flashes before your eyes in the last second, but it's not a second, it's a lifetime.
Right.
And then I remember my wife, and I remember my daughter, and I remember my grandma, and like, this is what beauty and life is. My favorite moment of this whole fucking movie, from when the first time I saw it, was actually Annette Bening losing it at the end in that closet.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, where she like is freaking out because she had the gun and she puts it away and then she already found him.
Right.
So she knows he's dead and she sees all his coats and she like hugs all his coats and like breaks down. Really fucking good.
Yeah. No, it is.
And it's a very interesting thing to write and it's a very interesting thing to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting thing to shoot. I really genuinely love.
Yeah. It was a really good choice too.
Yeah.
It was a really good choice because it would have been very easy to have her break down over the body or over a picture.
Right.
Going for the coats. Like, interesting.
His jackets.
Yeah.
It's very real.
Very real. Very good.
Very real.
I like it a lot. I did think it was an interesting choice that, you know, so he's thinking about his wife. He's thinking about his daughter. He's thinking about the real meaning of life and what beauty and what he really is going to miss from what this existence meant to him. And then it just ends with 10 minutes of him jacking it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Kind of an odd choice.
He was just jacking her in the shower. Yeah. That's cool. That's how I want to fucking remember my life.
Just all the times you were jacking it in the shower. Just all the porn you watched.
Yeah.
I remember that one porn. There was 8 chicks in that porn. God damn it. It was amazing. I'd never seen one with more than 3. And there was 8.
It was 8 of those. Yeah. Somebody had a meme where it was like, once you die, if you go back and you see your life, all those times that you black out, those are like deleted scenes.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. good.
Then you don't get to see. And I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know if I want to see those. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, shit. I don't remember that happening. And they're like, yeah, obviously.
Obviously. Look at how fucked up you were.
You were blackout drunk, motherfucker. Shit. But anyway, it's still a very good movie. I mean, the jerking out for 10 minutes at the end was an interesting choice by Sam.
But again, you want to leave the audience with a real impression when they leave
leave
the theater.
Also, because in the beginning, we see Kevin Spacey jerking off in the shower. Right,
it's the circular.
But at the end, he's very muscular.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, good for him.
Yep.
Yeah.
He really got there.
He's a very healthy guy now. And right before he died, he's a healthy guy jerking off in the shower for 10 minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him.
So we've come to the end of this movie with a 10-minute jerk-off
scene. That's right.
Yeah. So now we get to fix this movie.
Now we get to fix this movie. Less jerking off, I think. Less maybe cut that part.
I don't know. There's like a lot of jerking off in it. How do we fix this movie?
Well, again, you could make it about Annette Bening's character. You could make the movie that I pitched, American Beauty 2, Lost in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just Wes Bentley and Thora Birch in New York. Doing early 2000s New York stuff, I guess.
Also,
just being really into the art scene.
You could really make an awesome drama about them because Wes Bentley's dad killed Thora Birch's fucking
father.
Dad.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of weird shit to unpack in that.
That is a lot to put on them.
Also, they got 40 grand. So, obviously, you spend 10 grand on drugs.
Yeah.
Because you got to sell those to make 50 grand.
That's true.
And back in 99, it's cocaine.
Or do we go, yeah. Do we go? So there's a lot of ways we can go with this movie, right? Because this could be like an art school, hips young people in New York being hip and young.
Right.
Or it could be a movie about how Wes Bentley goes from a hip young art school guy and how Thora Birch goes from this free spirited young kind of quasi goth to them in the Annette Bening and Kevin Spacey relationship. Where they're both like miserable and he's got a corporate gig.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just putting on a front 24/7.
I don't think it ever gets really good for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think with the way the characters are, I don't think it gets really good for him. Wes Bentley's fucked up.
Yeah, he's very fucked up.
Thora Birch is falling. It's like fucking Romeo and Julieting into this. Like, she's kind of like falling hard into this fucking one dude. There's no way that it works out for them in fucking New York. So I feel like you get a very good fucking drama.
Do you do a psychological horror where Thor Birch eventually kills Wes Bentley? Is this a Fatal Attractions?
Oh, no. Well, you can do like a Sliver, right? Where he's like obsessed with videotaping shit.
Yeah.
And he's like videotaping it the whole time. So you're like, he's a creep. He's the one doing it. And then
do you do it found footage style and it's all Wes Bentley's footage. But yeah, you think he's going to be a murderer, but...
And then it turns out to be Thor
Birch the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can go back to like, oh, but
or it's secretly Chris Cooper again, because we're just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, because I'm like, how about Chris Cooper? Actually, yeah, you could go with like Chris Cooper goes hunts him down. Oh, shit. All right.
That's pretty good, too.
I'm going to go with a 90s. I'm going to cut back down to like 92, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Like stepfather slasher, type of slasher.
Like cyberpunk slasher.
Yeah, guy hunting you down through the fucking New York streets. All right, I'm going to go Chris Cooper is hunting them down.
That's right.
In New York. They're just like trying to live in this apartment and he keeps showing up.
Yeah.
And like they kind of see him, but they don't see him. And then he's like kind of everywhere and everything is kind of falling apart for them.
He did say he'd rather see Wes Bentley dead than sucking dick.
Right.
So, and he did see him suck dick, as far as he knows.
And it, you know, like, they're like, you know what, Wes Bentley's like, I'm going to go and take a filmography class. And then his teacher gets slaughtered, gets killed.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chris Cooper.
It's Chris Cooper, yeah.
He's around, yeah. It's like that.
And that teacher showed him, like, Birdcage or something.
Yes.
So, unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
No, not good enough. You got to kill an animal in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You got to boil a rabbit or some shit.
Yeah. Well, they adopt like a cute cat or something.
Yeah, and he has to kill the cat.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper kills a cat. Yeah, no, I like the. It's a psychological horror thriller.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper's still fine. Why not? I think that would have been actually
really. And then at the end, Chris Cooper is Thora Birch?
Oh, my God. Yes. Obviously.
There we go.
He just takes a wig off?
He takes the wig off. And it's just Thora Birch in Chris Cooper face.
We have to go. And it's still like topless. And it just like wig off and it's fucking Chris Cooper. Dope.
Yeah.
And Wes Bentley's like my own dad the whole time. Yeah. I'm about it. I think we fixed this movie.
Yeah, that's close enough, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Maybe some robots or something. Our usual bullshit. Stallone's in it.
And Stallone's in it, obviously. Clearly. He's the art teacher.
He's the art teacher, yeah.
The film teacher.
The cat's a robot.
It's always a robot.
Yeah. Explosions.
Yeah.
More tits.
Yeah. If we can do it in a weird, like in a tunnel or on a mountain.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It ends, like the last 30 minutes, they go to a mountain to get out of New York because of all the murders.
In like,
and then it just becomes a mountain survival. Yeah.
I assume that's
clearly in Toronto.
Yeah. It's clearly not in fucking New York.
Yeah.
Anymore. No. God, can we do a Niagara Falls?
Oh, that's good.
Shit, Niagara Falls. All right.
Niagara Falls is a good place.
So it's like a
classic,
falling over.
Hitchcock shit.
Yeah, that's when he takes off the wig and you find out it's not Thora Birch, it's Chris Cooper. And then he's like about to fall in, and then like Wes Bentley has to choose whether or not to save
the woman slash father that he loves.
Yeah,
slash
and then when he's about to do it, then Stallone is like, "Listen to me."
You get a flashback.
Yeah, you used to fit right here. Somehow,
it's not about how hard you get hit.
Yeah. He's holding out to fucking Chris Cooper. Falling over the side of the fucking falls. It's about how hard you can get hit and get up.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he lets him go.
And he lets him go.
So and then, all bam, we need... Academy Award, Chris Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. For that kind of complex transsexual type portrayal, I think 100% he gets the award.
Oh, yeah. American Beauty 2, Lost New York. Perfect.
Yep. Just let's get clone Alfred Hitchcock to direct and clone, well, still very much alive, John Carpenter to do the music. Because, again, we're going for like an early 80s vibe.
And he'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're cool enough with him. He'll do it for you.
Yeah, he'll do it. And let's make it happen.
I'm 100% on this.
All right. So next week, we will be back, hopefully with something shittier that we can make fun of more. What is it that we're doing next week? Actually, ironically, from one of the same producers, Alan Ball, The Flintstones.
Weird. Alan Ball did The Flintstones. Oh, God damn.
Right? Wasn't it? It was one of the producers. I think it was Alan Ball.
That's going to be a fun.
Was also a producer of the John Goodman, Rick Moranis classic, The Flintstones.
Hell yeah. That's going to be a fun movie.
Yeah, it is a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a very fun movie. That's a like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids type of movie.
Yeah.
Where it just like walking on set would have been fucking worth it.
Awesome. Yeah, we got some crazy movies coming up. I'm just looking ahead.
Hell yeah.
So until then, remember to like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Hit us up, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. You can hit us up at Instagram, blockbusternostalgia. You know, YouTube, pods, everywhere.
Yeah, Patreon, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Andin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.